I'll start out by asking a question that I've been thinking about a little bit more recently, a totally different context. I can't imagine there's a person in this room, or perhaps even in this world, who does not want to be happy. If I would ask people that I know, how much do you want to be happy on a scale of 1 to 10? I can't imagine anyone saying less than whatever number. I don't know. 3, I don't care. Happy, sad, it's all good to me. But that's just not a response you would expect or even believe. And therefore, if we sincerely value being happy, being comfortable in life and in our own skins, it's certainly worthwhile to think about why people aren't as happy as perhaps they could be and should be. Kumbaya. And perhaps did the lights just go off in this room alone? The whole
show on another 3 seconds. Until then.
Okay.
We go on in a few seconds.
And therefore,
it's making it hard to play.
And therefore, I guess the question is an important question to ask in life, but perhaps most importantly in yeshiva, because that's short term and where we are. Whether there's a value for happiness besides just I enjoy it, perhaps is a greater conversation than the one we're going to have right now. You know, there's certainly indications of Simchas Yantiv and Onik Shabbos and things along that nature where the Torah seems to not just enable you, but to encourage cultivating a sense of happiness and positivity in life. But I do believe most people in the world would like to be happier than they are, would like to increase that level of happiness. And I wanted just to share a couple quick thoughts about that. Certainly, if Avodas Hashem includes happiness, it's not just a means to an end. If it's an end in and of itself, well, then we're trying our best to develop the midah of happiness, because you'd want to develop the midah of anava, you want to develop the midah of zerizus, you want to develop the midah of sensitivity and care, and therefore simcha as well. But if not, it's certainly one of the most important mediums, means. It certainly is an excellent mechanism. It's a great platform for facilitating Avodas Hashem. If it doesn't have intrinsic, inherent value, it certainly enables us to serve Hashem properly. Yivduas Hashem b'simcha may be an independent value, or just no, which is the most pragmatic way to serve Hashem. If you want it to last, do it b'simcha. You look around, people who have gone off the derech, the overwhelming majority of them didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, either because they couldn't, didn't know how to. Many people, when they go off the derech, it's because they feel, you know, would I be happier if I was just sinning more? And the answer almost always is it's a lot more attractive than it is. And you can think about the sins you've done in your own life. They're never as great as they you thought they would have been beforehand. But I wanted to share perhaps 3 or 4 just eitzes in life about developing and working on the midah of simcha, working on the midah of simchas achayim, working on just becoming happier and more comfortable in life. And point number one is a vart that the Kotzker has in the Parsha. The Pasuk says, Anshei Kodesh Tiali, says the Kotzker, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks for Anshei Kodesh is because he has got more than enough angels. There's no lack of angels in the world, and therefore setting unrealistic angelic expectations is unfair and unhealthy. The goal is to set realistic expectations and to judge yourself based on realistic expectations. It's a story I love telling about Rav Baruch Ber. Rav Baruch Ber had a daughter who was supposed to marry one of the top Iluyim in, I guess, Kamenitz, whatever yeshiva it was. And the Talmud decided to break off the engagement to Rav Baruch's daughter. And it was uncomfortable for him. He decided to switch yeshivas. And as uncomfortable as it was, he had to ask Rav Baruch Ber for a letter of recommendation. So Rav Baruch Ber wrote him up a letter. And he asked four or five people to read it over and over and over again just to make sure none have his incredible pain and almost disappointment that this Talmud had caused him was reflected in that letter. Now, I love that story because you see Rav Baruch Ber, on the one hand, being meticulous to do what's right, but more than that, you see he's fully aware that he's human and he doesn't want his human pain to impact on what he felt was right. There's no sense of wearing a blindfold and pretending I'm an angel. There's no sense of, hey, I'm above being hurt and above being damaged. I was hurt. He's honest. He's open. And when people are hurt and I have a Yetzer Hara, he was implying. When people have a Yetzer Hara and they're hurt by others, it can express itself. And he felt it was wrong. 100% realistic. No super, I should be perfect and every time I sin and I have unrealistic expectations. Far too often, we give ourselves unrealistic expectations and beat the heck out of ourselves and we don't achieve them. We set unrealistic goals for ourselves and we're hard on ourselves when we don't. I remember I told my wife, we went on a date. This is our longest date. This is like the date I really felt I was probably, this is, you know, I felt it was, this is the one. And we went out to, I forgot, somewhere in Connecticut, like a whole day's date. I knew I was leaving New York, New Jersey, so that was like a real, you know, out of the box type of thing. Who goes dating in different states? And I remember sitting there on like a dock at some, you know, boating something or other. It was the winter. And I remember telling her that when Shlomo Zalman Auerbach passed away, he said, there's a minhag to ask your wife for mechila, but I've never sinned against her in my life, so I don't really need to. But since it's a minhag, I'll do it anyway. I told her, I said, Tara, Mirtz Hashem, if this thing works out, one day, if, you know, I hope to never, ever have sinned against my wife. And needless to say, a day or two after my wedding, you know, I broke my unrealistic dream, and then I tried again, and perhaps, I don't know, another few days have gone by, and it was so far from where I was at, with all due respect to myself. I certainly try my best to be a good husband, and I think I am a good husband. You know, I'm a good father and husband, I try my best to be. But I realize it's okay to set unrealistic goals as long as you have realistic expectations. And I think it's even healthy to set unrealistic or at least very lofty, noble goals and judge yourself. Do your assessment based upon what 2020 hindsight perspective gives you as reasonable goals. When you walked in day one, the goal was just to learn how to read Gemara without using Art Scroll. And you realize, you want to know what? That was the wrong goal. The goal should be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be at the center of my life. Don't judge yourself if you could read Gemara now that you've realized the goal was the wrong goal. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not fully at the center of your life with every decision you make on every level, don't beat yourself up in an unhealthy way. Rabbi Taragin likes to walk in here on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur and tell everyone, Rosh Hashanah is the day we make Hashem our Melech. Is he really your melech? Is he important enough in your life? And the answer for all of us is, wow, no, it's a powerful message he gives. The answer is no, because I've sinned. I never took religion that seriously, or at least not as seriously as I should have. In a certain sense, I aspire for it. And that could be a little bit disheartening because you're never going to attain perfection. God didn't give us the capabilities of doing so. And there's an emotional balance of, on the one hand, aspiring for perfection while realistically recognizing you'll never get there. And learning how to become satisfied with trying really, really hard and getting better. Because God did give us the capability of getting better. And on the one hand, point number one is recognize Anshei Kodesh is our dreams. Not just Anashim, but become Anshei Kodesh. But don't try to become angels. This is not realistic. That was one small point. Point number two, second thought that was kind of going through my mind with to share with people. the more you find yourself on track, the more you find yourself still on the journey, ironically, the happier you are. Once you've hit the plateau, once you've gotten to where you want to get to, you're no longer happy. That's why Madonna puts on tefillin and Mike Tyson converts to Islam and there's not a person in Hollywood not on drugs. Because once you get to where you're at, so now what? The goal of getting to somewhere, ironically, is not a good goal. Try your best never to get to your goal. What does that mean? The answer is, as you grow, the goal should grow with you. God made it impossible for us to become perfect, but possible for us to become better, because that's what he wants to aspire towards. Get as close as you can to perfection, knowing you'll never be there. It's a healthy thing, because if you hit perfection, what would you do next? Rav Tzvi Yehuda Cohen Cook used to say, there are people in the world who complain about darkness, people in the world who shed light. Shedding light is part of the process, and it requires a proactive mindset. And shedding light can be to the world or to yourself or to your family or something else. Be proactive in solving problems. The journey is what inspires us to be happier. When you feel you're growing into the Ben Torah that you're proud to be, you know you're on the right journey. Soak in that pride, enjoy it, because it'll inspire you to continue. Put yourself in environments and cultures and mindsets, perhaps even most importantly, where you see yourself improving and moving forward. Number three is a word I heard from my Tarek, and I think heard from Rabbi Weinfeld. It was here, I guess, 2 weeks ago. The Pasuk says, in Tehillim we say it on Shabbos, Mi'ayesh ha'chafetz chayim? Oh, hev yamim l'ros tov. Who wants life? And everyone knows the answer is, don't speak Lashon Hara, right? So Rabbi Tarakin says over the Vart, I thought it was so insightful. Mi'ayesh ha'chafetz chayim? Who wants life? Oh, hev yamim. A guy who loves days. L'ros tov, and he sees good. Sur me'rav, the tzur l'shon chameiro, s'fasech medaber mirma. That's the Lashon Hara part. But there's a part that everyone leaves out in between. Mi'ayesh ha'chayim, ohev yamim l'ros tov. How do you love life? How do you learn how to love life? The answer is when you look through positive looking glasses. Mi'ayesh ha'chayim, ohev yamim l'ros tov. Love your days. Love everything about your days. Have a positive perspective. Then it's l'shon chameira. You'll stop speaking badly because everything's good. Enjoy positivity. Love life. Love what you're doing. Be excited about what you're doing. Do things you enjoy and feel great about them. Be successful, because we all enjoy success. And I wanted just to share a few quick points about success, because I believe that that really is the ultimate key. When you feel you're working towards achieving more and more success, you find yourself happy. I said this in the past, I'll say it again. There's only two things in the world people want. Anyone who ever wanted anything in this world, they wanted it because it led to one of the following two things, truth or happiness. Everything else is just a means to one of those ends. We all want to live lives of truth and happiness. And success helps facilitate that. And success of Avodas Hashem is perhaps the paradigmatic example of fulfillment. What could be more meaningful than doing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in this world? And when you're accomplished, and when you're enjoying it along the process, what could be more, give you greater simcha? So therefore, let me just share with you one or two quick points about success. There's a Gemara, Masechet Shabbos, actually related to the Parsha as well. The Gemara says, it's a very well-known Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Avidimi Barchama Barchasa Melamed. Shekafa Kadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Mesahar Kigigis V'amar Lahem Matem Makabel Mesatov Makabel Matov Rad Mutov V'mlav Sham Tehei Gvuraschem. Famous Gemara, Hashem put a barrel above their head. Put a har, a mountain above their head like a barrel. Kafa Aleihem Har Kigigis and said, you have two choices, take the Torah or die. And everyone talks about, wow, that's a real wonderful Kabbalah Satorah. The Gemara says, no, don't worry about it. A little bit later on, you know, Kimu Vakiblu, Kimu Mashakiblu Kfar. So everyone always wonders, why is it that Hashem must have forced us to start the Torah? Why is it has to come through force? Shouldn't it be healthier to choose it? Isn't that a real Nazim Neshmas when we choose it? So I don't know who says this Vart, besides one of the Balabatim in my shul. His name is Sammy Jack, and he gave Shir on Shabbos last week's Parsha Mishpat. He said such an unbelievably deep Vart, I fell in love with it. I told her of Meir Tversky, my Rebbe. He says, this is great Vart. He really liked it very much. I told him 3 or 4 Varts to someone on the airplane. He said, Rebbe, I have a couple good Varts for you. He's very excited. At least he acted that way. So this guy, Sammy, explained. Religion and commitment to religion starts off with Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigis. And only then, later on, are you ready for a Kimu V'Kiblu, Kiblu, Masha Kiblu Kfar. We have to start off doing what's right in order to fall in love with it. You have to start off developing the routine in order for it to become part of you. When you walked in day one, wait up, I'm here for a whole week, 2 weeks, why am I not in love with Gemara? How can I flip out yet? That's not how it works. Once you've developed routine, it becomes part of you. Once it's almost inculcated deeply into your religious personality, that you begin to feel the sweetness and the taste, the genuine geschmack of it. The Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Perkei Avos something very similar. It's unbelievable. He says like this. Im ein derech eretz ein Torah, says the Mishnah. If there's no derech eretz, there's no Torah, says Rabbeinu Yonah in the Mishnah. Ratzel Omar, here's what it means to say. Shetzarech techila letakin atzmo b'midos. First you have to fix your midos. Uvazeh tishkon ha-Torah alav. And then only then can the Torah be shochein on you. She'inenu shochenes le'olam b'guf she'inu bal midos tovos. The Torah is never shochen a person who's not bal midos tovos. Lo she'yulmad Torah v'achra kachi kach lo midos. Don't learn Torah and ultimately you'll develop into a bal midos. Fakir, he says, ki yevsha, because that's impossible. And that's what it means, Naseh V'Nishma. That's what it means, Naseh V'Nishma. The answer is yes. The more you do Naseh, the more you can begin to do Nishma. The more you do what you're supposed to do, the more it can subtly sink in. The more we have great, and I'll try to translate this to our lives in a more practical way. The more you deeply value being successful and you accomplish those goals, the greater the geschmack is. The more you deeply value being successful and you accomplish those goals, the greater the geschmack is. It's true about daily goals, it's true about weekly goals, it's true about monthly goals, it's true about working on this Tosfos right here. If you really are passionate about getting this Tosfos, I want to know this Tosfos. I want to have a handle on this Tosfos. I want to understand it really well. And then you work on it, and you work on it, and you get it. That sense of accomplishment should be rewarding. There's an unbelievable statement that the Derech Hashem writes, or the Ramchal writes. The Ramchal says, well, why did Hashem create a world? Great question. And he answers it. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by definition, has to do good and therefore has to create others in order to receive some of his goodness. That's the definition of being perfect. Being perfect, includes omnibenevolence, and therefore he had to create man in order to bestow upon them some of this omnibenevolence. Unless you ask me, 1 second, the world does not seem to be expressive of Hashem's omnibenevolence. There's people who are miserable and unhappy. This is the greatest gift God can give us, says Ramchal. No, that's called Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, there'll be the greatest gift out there. And the Ramchal then asks, well, 1 second, if that's the case, why didn't Hashem put us in Olam Haba first? And the Ramchal gives an unbelievable answer. It says God couldn't have. You would not have appreciated it without the hard work. apparently, it's not just like God didn't do it. That cannot be done. It doesn't reflect truth. Says Ramchal, just like Hashem is not arbitrarily good, so too he can't give us arbitrary goodness. Let me say it differently. Happiness, success, both of them require you to earn it. Happiness has to be earned. Success has to be earned. It requires hard work and it requires smart work. But the more we set goals of things we deeply value and deeply respect and deeply care about and accomplish them, the more you begin to drink the mitikut of Torah, the sweetness, the geshmak. And in a certain sense, perhaps, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha may be the most important pasuk for your year and years and time and life in yeshiva. Partially because the more you enjoy it, the more likely it is to last long term. And therefore, figure out ways to enjoy it more. But beyond that, the deeper the experience is now, the more you fall in love with learning now, the more you push yourself to learn. Long-term learning and short-term learning boils down to two things. Number one, how much you love it, how much you find it geschmack and interesting and exciting. And number two is how much you find yourself responsible to do it. When we learn in 10 years from now, develop a real sense of responsibility. What are the odds you're now putting on tefillin tomorrow morning? Very, very small. I would say zero. Because you know you have a sense of responsibility. Even if you don't want to, you do it. The more Talmud Torah becomes part of that sense of responsibility. And also, I love it. I enjoy it. It makes me happy, the longer it'll stay. And therefore, how do you become comfortable and how do you become happy? It requires hard work and it requires smart work and it requires you to earn it. Otherwise, everyone would have without working very hard. To reiterate my small little eitzes. Number one, set realistic goals, not unrealistic goals. Anshei Kodesh, you should aspire to be. Number two, recognize the process, the hard work, and building towards something great is itself. Ironically, the means are the ends. And lastly, extreme positivity, extreme optimism. View life as good. Sometimes real, you know, pessimists say, hey, if I'm optimistic, it's not a realist. The answer is both optimism and pessimism are both realism. The cup is really half full and half empty. The question is which half you're focusing on. They're both right. Anyone who says the cup's a third empty and two-thirds full is just wrong or bad at math or not a realist or I don't know what. Optimism means I know it's half empty and half full. I want to enjoy the half full part. And therefore, be positive and view your success as a great thing. Set ambitious and goals about things you really care about. And celebrate your achievement of them because it motivates continuous success. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha captures two things. On the one hand, Ivdu es Hashem means serve Hashem. There's nothing more meaningful and purposeful than that. And do it b'simcha. Enjoy the process. And as we move towards the two-thirds mark through this Shana Aleph experience, we're about 6 weeks away from Purim, which is wild. In a certain sense, the Zman doesn't end. You know, the joke in Yeshiva is that every Zman ends on the Titus. So on Gedalia, Titus Esther, and Shivas Batam, but the joke is everyone's those fasts a few days earlier. Okay, that one didn't go over so well, but you got the point. I appreciate the sympathy laugh. In a certain sense, Im Lalach Shaveh Masai. If you have not yet sunken your teeth in as much as you wanted to or tasted the Geshmak, I'm thinking in your teeth. Ironically, no pun intended. So speak to me. Speak to the other Rebbeim. Speak to the Sholem Yeshivim. Speak to the Madrichim. There are dozens and dozens of people who have etzos and advice. Speak to older guys. Dozens and dozens of people who have done this successfully in our yeshiva. Not that you should follow them blindly, but if they've done it, you should at least hear what they have to say. And Amir Tzah Hashem, together, we'll sing and dance and drink together a little bit on Purim, celebrating our happiness, our commitment, and our synthesis of the two. Everyone should have a good Shabbos.